Dude, yeah, it's all about being three deep at Carl's Jr.
you gotta DDoS at Carl's Jr. at least once in your life.
And welcome to a very special episode of Bad Voltage. This is episode 82. Wait, 82? Stuart, is this episode 82?
82.
All right. No one's talking except 82. All right. I only trust Stuart on this one because he has the whole webmaster key thing with the root password, which I think is just ihaveaduck.com or something like that. Anyway, my name is Brian Lunduke. The three gentlemen joining me, Stuart Lagridge, Jeremy Garcia, and Jono something something something, are here all the time making kick-ass shows for you. And today we're going to be talking about our 2016 predictions and how astoundingly wrong we were on them.
Some of us were.
let's be fair. I think after you tally up all of the predictions that we make, I think our total percentage of correctness is somewhere around 14-15% as a show. But just the same, listen and find out which one of us, it wasn't Jono, got something correct.
It was not me. It was definitely not me. Yeah. So, and this is a very special show. We also have a big Bad Voltage announcement to share.
We do.
Big news to share later on. But
big news.
You're going to have to listen through our mundane ramblings before we can get to that. Yeah, so stay tuned.
Or you can scrub all the way to like the 2/3 mark and jump right past the other garbage.
You could. It's like we don't ship this on a, you know, on a VHS cassette or anything like that. It's not that much of a pain.
You know,
to
you
fast
can
forward.
Just fast forward a VHS cassette too. Those had that back then.
It's kind of annoying though, isn't it?
It was that annoying.
I'm going to lie about the timings in the show notes.
Oh, that's a good way to go. You know, I had my first VHS cassette player, it had the little buttons, but you remember those flappy buttons, those like little metal flaps over the little membranes, and if they accidentally peel up and then break off because they were just thin little metal sheets, the fast forward one on ours broke off way early, and the little friggin' membrane was harder than hell to push because it was like, it was meant to be pushed with that big stupid flappy bit of metal. And if you just shoved your whole pad at it, there was a little uptick where it kind of broke off and it would cut your friggin' finger. So we just never fast-forwarded again.
You know what, man? You should write a novel one day.
It should be just about my VCR when I was a kid. Which later had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in it. Thanks, sister.
All right, let's do it.
And now, for the last time in 2016, Bad Voltage.
So, I'm speaking to you here. My name is Nostradamus Langridge, and I'm going to... A year ago, we put together some predictions. The four of us each predicted things that we would happen in 20... things that we thought would happen in 2016, right? Changes in the technology world, companies that might get sold, products that might arrive, products that might go away, things that might change. All of this, we put them together and recorded them, released a show. And now comes the time when we look back at 2016 and see how we did. And
yes.
I don't want to spoil it, but I didn't do very well.
No, you really didn't, man.
It's okay.
Here, let's start with Jeremy's, because I think Jeremy, well, let's just dive into it. I'm just going to read off Jeremy's one at a time, and, you know, let's talk about how he did. His first prediction for 2016, and I'll read this straight off, at least one AR or VR devices, one of the AR or VR devices, will be considered a commercial success and will not be Oculus. And I kind of thought that was interesting because I'm not 100% certain that any of them are commercial successes yet, but the Google one kind of has a couple of them, along with the Google one, have gotten a lot of like mind share, and I kind of almost...
Looking into these for Jono's and myself, because we both had VR-related stuff, numbers are really, really difficult to come by, and in some places pretty conflicting. But Samsung Gear VR seems to have sold about 5 million units and is the number one seller. So I kind of consider that for a niche-ish product, 5 million is, I would say, a success.
Yeah, I mean, in general, policy on these things is if they won't quote numbers, that's because the numbers are lower than they want to imply. But the Gear VR doing 5 million, the Vive sold, you know, Vive's got a bunch. Even Jono's Daydream, which is only available to morons who bought a Pixel, has still sold
more than I would have thought.
So, I mean,
now here's the other question here. Now, for to be a virtual reality device, does it have to be something more than you basically duct tape a cell phone straight to your eyeballs? Does that qualify as a VR device? Because all of the ones we've talked about so far are. They're just devices to strap a cell phone directly to your retina.
Right, the Oculus and the Vive sold less than the strapped on phone ones, for
the
sure.
The strap-ons, yeah.
I think it should also be noted as well that the PlayStation VR, according to analyst firm IHS Market, has put a tentative marker of 1.4 million units sold this year.
That's the number I saw was 1.4.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I think I would argue that Jeremy's successful.
I think so too. You know, in this one, I think he's successful. I think that strapping a cell phone directly to your eyeballs is the stupidest thing any human could ever do to themselves. Yep. Because here's the thing: when we were all kids, do you remember when your mom said, "Hey, honey, make sure you shove your nose right up against the TV set, never blink, and don't look away for hours on end"? Because that's what my mom told me every single day.
And so, potentially run around the room while doing so. Right.
Yeah, no, we never had a TV set, so I don't know what that felt like.
Right. Run around the room while you're doing that.
But
I think Jeremy
wrong?
Got this one. I think we got to give him credit for this one.
Score.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, there are what? Probably 10 million or so out there, right? That's, by anyone's measure, that's a commercial success. It may not be as big as they want it to be, but it's still early days.
And I gotta say, my personal feelings on this heading into 2016 was there was no chance in hell that would happen. And so I gotta admit, I didn't think it would happen. And yes, I do think everyone who bought one is an idiot. However,
I will note
it did happen.
Of the four presenters that comprise Bad Voltage, one of us has one of these devices.
Yes. In my defense, I bought the Pixel and I got the other thing for free, okay? Now, I'm not going to deny that's part of the reason why I bought the Pixel.
In my defense, is then the next sentence is I bought a Pixel. There's no defense.
How much did you pay for the Pixel?
900.
All right, Jeremy's second prediction. Apple will definitively have a down year. Stock will be down.
So, the stock started the year at $105. It did go down to well under 90. I think it hit 88 and change.
It did.
It's 115 today, though, to be fair, it is up. But it was 105 or 104-ish on election day. So it's really part of a broader NASDAQ movement that's up since election day. But let me make my case here. Okay. iPhone unit sales are down by 5% for this quarter compared to last year. iPad sales down 6%, Mac down 14%. The last analyst report was, quote unquote, the trend of lower iPhone sales has continued throughout the year, and the big question arises as to whether Apple has already reached its peak sales numbers ever. So iPhone sales will not be higher this year for the first time in 8 years, aka ever. The MacBook Pro is getting wildly panned by pretty much everybody.
Yep.
They just had to have a press conference saying they're not dishing the desktop. Apple Watch sales are way down, and they're down from numbers that were lower than they anticipated, so way, way down. So to me, that's a down year, with no upside that I can speak of.
Okay, I think we all need to vote on this one, because I think this one might get a little bit split. Now, I am personally a little bit biased in favor of anyone who predicts that Apple's having a down year, so I kind of just want to vote for Jeremy. But honestly, it's close, but I think Jeremy's right. Overall, it is a down year, and I think once the market corrects itself a little bit, maybe it'll be by the end of December, maybe it'll be more into January, February, something like that. I think we will see enough of a dip that Jeremy got the basic thing right, even if maybe the weeks or months are off a little bit.
I think that the if Jeremy hadn't have said definitively, he would have nailed this one. I think it's kind of a down year for them. Like, it's, you know, the stock kind of went down, their sales are kind of down, so they're definitely heading into a slump, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily as definitive as the prediction was. So I would give him a half point for this
one. Okay. All right, Stuart, it comes to you then.
Well, yes, I think Apple are having a down year. It feels like that they're losing their way a bit. The key point Jeremy quoted there is the word peak. I think peak Apple may have been a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and now this is catabolic collapse, right? Sort of trending downwards, and when they're coming up with new ideas, they don't seem to be well received. Now, we're a long way from the seesaw tipping over to people saying, okay, I'm going to move away, but the trend is definitely downwards, and even though the stock price overall over the course of the year hasn't massively reflected that, yeah, it's been up and down, and yes, it's only up at the moment because the stock market as a whole has gone up. That's not the point. Still part of the stock market, but I'd be happy with a half mark if we're allowed to give half marks,
which would tip it in Jeremy's favor as him getting this one.
Yep. So I think that's
I think we got to give it to him.
A small green tick for this one. Big green tick for the VR one. Small green tick for this.
Is that how we're scoring this? Big ticks and little ticks. All right,
you're doing pretty well, Jeremy.
This isn't bad. Let's go
to the third one.
So we all did two primary predictions and then a third bonus prediction that was just kind of like an extra kind of crazy gamble. One. All right, Jeremy's bonus prediction: at least one device will ship with a flexible or bendable display.
And I did add in the bonus kicker of it will not be the Arubix.
Well, you're right about that. That's not sure.
Yeah, he nailed that one. Yeah.
And so let me read a press release. The purposeful innovation meets powerful performance with the LG G Flex. Discover the world's first curved, flexible smartphone and see why LG's flexible screen phone is the shape of innovation. Available on Amazon right now.
Yep.
Yay! Yep,
I was kind of just being funny. The fact that SDC's flexible OLED revenues last quarter cracked $1 billion, which I cannot believe.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that too.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to try and convince everyone that we should disallow this. Not fine. Yes, you know, I went out and had a look, and at least one device did ship with a flexible display. But
it's not one. Vivo shipped one. Xiaomi shipped one. LG shipped one. It's
a bunch of them did. This is the problem. Yeah. But if no one gave a shit, and if it was a stupid idea, I think morally it doesn't count.
But if it's a stupid idea, we have to discount all of the virtual reality ones. Though I'm just saying.
And nowhere in my prediction was, it's a good idea.
Right?
But it's so stupid. It's just the most ridiculous idea.
I will note that none of the Bad Voltage presenters have one of these devices.
Why would we ever want one? It's just, I don't get it. I don't even get
why. Why would anyone duct tape a cell phone directly to their eyeballs? There are terrible ideas in this world.
So actually, Jeremy, if anyone listening to the show has a flexible device, please go to community.badvoltage.org and let us know, because I'm genuinely curious if even a single listener has one of these.
To be clear, the iPhone 6 Plus does not count.
Yeah.
You know those Samsung phones where the screen goes right to the edge? There's no bezel thing on the side? I think those are stupid, let alone
cool. The idea is cool.
What is the point of it? What is the point of it? Tell me the reason why you would buy a phone like that.
Why would you want a stupid black bezel all around the outside of the screen? That's ridiculous.
Why do you fucking care?
It looks good in the commercial where it can have like an alarm on the side and do cool stuff, but in practice, because it's a Samsung-only API and only Samsung apps support it, it's less good in practice than it is in
game. Yeah, I agree.
And to be clear, when we say, you know, only Samsung apps support it, half a dozen Samsung apps support it. Hasn't Tara got one?
She has one. She used to.
Someone had the Edge because I saw it and went, oh, isn't that pretty? And then nothing uses it. It's totally pointless.
Right. So Jeremy, three for three, once again, nailed a pretty good round. Yeah, it was a really good round. Jeremy, you nailed it. I honestly, looking ahead, I'm pretty confident that you're going to emerge the victor of our predictions. But let's charge forward and see how we did.
Okay.
Who's next?
So now let's see how Brian did. Now, Brian gave three predictions, two real ones and a bonus one. But I'm going to do his second prediction and the bonus first, because we can have a reasonable discussion about them and it'll be done really quickly. And then I'm going to give his other prediction, during which there will be a massive argument about whether it happened or not. not. So right. I don't want to distract things.
Really, the funny thing is, I feel like the first prediction, the one you're skipping over, is the most definitive, and the other one we can kind of waffle on.
It just totally isn't. Right, so second prediction from Brian. Chrome OS will have full access to the Android Play Store.
So it kind of happened. Here's the thing, though. It didn't happen on all devices, and it didn't happen on a number of devices that it should have happened on. But newer shipping devices do have that, and that is cool. So I got this one right, but Google did a kind of assholy stupid thing where they're only shipping it on some devices, even when some devices are plenty powerful enough to handle it.
So and they rolled it out weird because they announced it, but then they didn't roll it out till September, and then it was only one device, and then they pushed it to other devices, but it's enabled on some, but disabled by default, and then on other ones, you can't enable it. It was a weird rollout, but they did do it.
And they talked about how it was because of performance, which does make sense. I mean, it would need a kind of a beefy machine to run the full simulator, but they are only doing it on newer devices, some of which are significantly less powerful than older devices, even some that Google themselves make that don't support it. And that, to me, is kind of friggin' stupid. So technically, I got it right, but I kind of feel like Google screwed me over a little bit.
What we're seeing here is the internal division within Google, the internal war going on with Google about exactly what they do, being played out in public. So I mean, yeah, I think this is a tech, right? I mean,
I agree.
You got this one. Chrome OS.
I got it, but I don't feel good about it. Let's just put it that way.
It's not the spirit, I think, of your prediction is great. Anyone with a Chromebook can now run any one of the 10 million Android apps rather than the 50 Chrome apps. And that's kind of the case and kind of not.
Yeah, if you discount the majority of Chromebooks on the market, I nailed it.
Boom.
And I have an actual question about this. I mean, can you do things like download and play the Android version of Pokemon Go, for example? Or is it only certain specific apps? Because I think it's only some Android apps that it works with.
It's the majority of Android applications, but many Android applications require that they be run on a phone. So things like Signal, and actually I think Pokemon Go is in this category too. Right. They require that they be run on certain classifications of devices, and those would fall under that. Which, by the way, developers at Signal, you guys are effing stupid. Let your application be installed elsewhere other than on insecure cell phones. So anyway, but that's a total side note.
Okay, but we're giving Brian a tick for this, right?
Yep, I think so. That seems fair.
Yep. Okay, Brian's bonus prediction. None of the major distros will be shipping Wayland by default.
Okay. I would like to say, flat out, I failed this one. Totally failed it. However, I am 100% confident. No. We need to get this out there. I am 100% confident that I failed this one simply because the Fedora community want to hurt me. So here's the thing. Fedora released the latest release in near the end of the year. I mean, less than 2 months to go, and wham, they roll it out, and they're like, ha-ha, Brian, here's some Wayland. And if they wouldn't have done that, if Fedora wouldn't have done that, I would have gotten this tick.
I agree. If a distro hadn't have shipped Wayland by default, you would have won. Nailed it.
Yes. All right, but yes, I definitely screwed this one over. And honestly, good job to the Fedora folks for shipping Wayland. I'm really glad that it got out there.
Also, to be fair to you, Brian, when we made these predictions, it was extremely unlikely that was going to happen.
Extremely.
I'm honestly surprised they got it in as a default.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they slipped that in.
I had a version of my Linux Sucks talk I did 3 years ago where Fedora had announced that they would be shipping with Wayland by default, and they didn't. And 3 years later, I just assumed it would be yet another year of this is funny, so I get to tell everyone how they didn't do it again. And damn it, they actually pulled it off. And
it's all
it
good.
Actually works pretty well. So, kudos to Wayland, kudos to Fedora, and I don't get a check mark for this one.
I mean, Wayland by default in Fedora, Unity 8 by default in Ubuntu. Oh, hang on, wait.
No, that hasn't happened. Absolutely not.
I should have made my prediction about Unity 8. That's where I screwed up.
To be clear here, I think to quote Comrade Garcia, it's not necessarily that we think it's a good idea that they're shipping Wayland by default, but nonetheless they are shipping Wayland by default. Right.
I think it's a good idea. Good for them.
Yeah,
we need X is freaking old. It's time that it gets a refresh. But that's a separate conversation.
That's right. a separate conversation.
Okay, right. Brian's final prediction.
Canonical, what I'm definitely getting a check mark for, by the way.
Canonical is going to pull out of the phone and portable market by year end. They have not done so. No.
Brian. So just your measurement was announcement of a refocus, an official press release, or 6 months of no OTAs. OTA 13 was September. OTA 14 was this month.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing. If you're a smartphone maker and you don't release anything that can be purchased for the holiday purchasing season, you're not in the smartphone market.
They're not a smartphone maker.
No, but they're not even a smartphone platform maker, because no smartphone is shipping
they're not a successful smartphone,
which is not the same thing at all.
So there's another thing. If you go to the Canonical press release page, there is zero mentions that they even are in this business whatsoever.
But your two measurements were announcement of refocus or 6 months of no OTAs.
Yeah.
And there's no announcement, and there's been an OTA.
If the OTA does almost nothing and one guy worked on it for an hour. Like, does that really count?
That's a different prediction. We had this discussion a year ago when we said you can't count this as a de facto pulling out. Give us some concrete measurements. You gave us concrete measurements, and they didn't happen.
You know,
no points for you.
Here's the thing, though. If you guys want to go with that, that's totally fine. However, Canonical is out of the smartphone market.
Brian. If your prediction was Canonical will be really crap at being in the smartphone market.
No, they're out of it. They are not in it anymore. They don't. There's no smartphones that you can buy. Can I buy it? Can you buy a smartphone running a Canonical operating system right now?
If we were to say, are Canonical de facto not in the market, I'd kind of nod and agree with you a bit sadly, yes. But okay.
I will agree with you guys on one thing. My metrics, I should have thought through the metrics a little bit. I came up with them spur of the moment on the spot because I was pushed into it. But and you know what? I should have thought them through a little bit better, because realistically, no smartphone maker, operating system, or hardware ever announces that they're getting out of the market.
No,
they just simply stop doing anything.
There have been many
of them that have occurred over the years, and they just simply stop accomplishing things. They stop selling things. Like Sidekick. Sidekick didn't make a big announcement saying, we're never making another Sidekick. Or I guess that was Danger was the company.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They just simply stopped.
In fact,
Danger stopped selling the Sidekicks in a far less spectacular way than Canonical stopped selling anything running Ubuntu.
So I don't follow the Ubuntu phone market very close. Did they release any new phones released in the year that have...
Yes.
At the very beginning, pretty much nobody purchased them, and they stopped selling almost instantly.
So was the Meizu Pro 5 the last phone released?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so. I think a fair summarization of this, which I think we'd all probably agree with, is that the prediction is wrong because the criteria...
At a technical level,
the prediction is wrong because the metrics.
You're right.
However, I think we would all agree that
Canonical's out of the market. They know.
Canonical is not really. I think we'd all agree that what's evident, not necessarily from any press releases or from any words, but what's evident is that the phone really isn't working out, and Canonical is not necessarily pursuing commercial ambitions as much as they would do
certainly
previously.
We know
Brian's answer is going to be to this. I'm genuinely curious, Ek and Jono, do you think from today onward another new phone will be released with Ubuntu phone?
No, of course not.
I don't think so. My guess for Canonical moving forward is that I think that the phone will probably be closed down more formally next year. And I think what Canonical will be investing in is a focus on enterprise desktop And cloud.
And the cloud.
And then primarily looking at Snappy as, like, so I think it will be software deployment cloud.
But that's not even a prediction, because if you look through their press release page, that's where the company has their focus. That's where they announce their focus.
And it's all Canonical
has zero interest. I'm saying
I think they will formally say that that's the focus next year.
They already have on their press release page. They actually have several press releases where they state specifically that that is their focus. If you go to the Canonical press release page, they specifically state, they don't state we're abandoning phones, but they state that their primary focus is enterprise and cloud with Juju and Charms and all that other good stuff. They state that that's their focus repeatedly, and they don't mention phones anywhere. Just like they don't mention TVs. They didn't specifically announce that they got out of the TV market, which they never were in, but they did pretend like they were in it for a little while, and then they just simply pretended like they never talked about it. And I think that's what they're going to do with phones, just like any other company would do. They pretend
Let's move on.
So we got one point for Brian.
Yep.
That's lame.
Jeremy's winning.
Moving on to Jono. Project Morpheus, aka the PlayStation VR, will have the highest number of sales for VR devices.
Well, I didn't say that it was selling more than the Oculus Rift. So
now you said it would be the highest. Therefore, based on your metrics, you got this one wrong. 0 points
so,
for this one.
Yeah, I think I got this wrong. I tried to dig up some Oculus Rift numbers, and there are no numbers from what I can tell.
So my
guess is that it probably sold more than the Oculus Rift, but it's not the best-selling VR device in the market. So
we think Gear VR is the best, right? That seems to be.
Think so?
It's
the best-selling device. As we've said, it's really, really hard to get numbers on this. I think PlayStation probably did better than the Rift, but it wasn't the best.
Yeah, and I think PlayStation is probably one of the highest-selling VR devices just because of the PlayStation user base, but there aren't enough numbers to quantify any of this.
Yeah, so, that's really hard.
So I think gut feeling, I think the spirit of that prediction is right, but again, the metrics are not right.
Yeah,
so.
No, fair play.
Yep, all right, agreed.
Coming What's up next, a portion or all of Canonical will be sold, and a couple of specific, you mentioned cloud specifically as the division you thought most likely to be sold, and you also mentioned, kind of exact opposite of what you just said a little while ago, that desktop would probably be put on life support and or maintenance mode.
Well, that's kind of what I meant earlier on by desktop being like focused on the enterprise is that I think that it'll turn into Red Hat Enterprise desktop time of thing. But obviously, no part of Canonical was sold, so I'm wrong there.
Honestly, Jono was wrong on this. I don't know that Jono's spirit is going to be wrong on this, because I think that there's a chance that we're going to see something like that happen quickly enough. I think Jono might just be a little bit too early with that prediction.
I think it'll happen at some point.
I think he's just off in timing. Yeah.
Yeah, the consensus from everyone for me seems again. To be you think
God, I'm good at this.
You're betting 1,000 here, and so poorly that there's not even a lot of discussion around these.
Yeah,
you're going to be
Let's just move on.
So,
right?
The bonus. Crowdfunding campaigns there will be one crowdfunding campaign that will raise at least $200 million in funding. You specifically mentioned Star Citizen by name. You attempted to originally predict $150 million. And no,
we
this was not.
And I was driven up, right?
So if you take Star Citizen, which I don't think is fair, right? Because it started on Kickstarter. It's been going ongoing independently, but for years, basically with no end in sight. So on a timeline of infinity, I guess, well, who knows how much it is? It doesn't really make a difference.
No, I don't think that was the spirit of it.
The largest true crowdfunding to date that I could find is the Pebble Time, which is $20 million.
Yeah.
Nope. The highest crowdfunding.
I'm not including
campaign.
The DAO, which is on Ethereum, because that's not.
The DAO is considered a crowdfunding campaign, and that raised $160 million.
The way it was done, I don't know that it was traditional crowdfunding.
It was crowdfunding. The crowd funded that project. It was not Kickstarter. It was not Indiegogo. It was on Ethereum. So I think that I would count that. Wikipedia counts that as a crowdfunding, and not that that's necessarily a metric. But I would count that as a crowdfunding campaign. It raised $160 million, which is not the 200, but I did originally go in with 150. So
triple.
What I think is interesting is
Yes, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
If we go with the Ethereum thing, yes, there's one. But that's so far ahead of everything else. You know, there's not a trend up that way. That's just miles away from every other campaign.
That wasn't Jono's prediction. Jono, just you and me in the room right now. All right, Brian. The other guys aren't even here.
Hopefully.
I'm going to say, with your original prediction being 150, I'm willing to cast my vote for you getting this one should you consider reconsidering your one about my canonical prediction.
They're now bartering votes.
But the difference is, though, Brian, so let's talk about this.
It's yes or no, 5.
Hang on.
4.
Hang on.
It's off the table. 3.
No, I can't do it, Brian.
All right.
Your metrics were wrong.
Your metrics are wrong, Jono.
My metric was right. And then you fucking bullied me into a different metric.
At least 200 million. No. You guys bullied me into specific metrics on the canonical one. Otherwise, I would have nailed it.
And you, you bullied me into the 200 million. There might be as many as 2 at the $200 million level.
Well, yeah. Well, this is a lesson in never listen to me.
Honestly, this is a lesson about never giving in to peer pressure.
This is a story about bullying, everyone.
All right. So Jono got nothing. Got nothing.
No points.
All right. Let's move on, Stuart.
So, Mr. Langridge, let's start out with what I thought was probably the most interesting and widely panned prediction in the show. We said that this was not going to happen. That the four of us and at least one of our family members will routinely not carry cash in our wallets at all. Well, I carry cash, so you're wrong on that front.
I've moved more towards carrying cash. In fact, I very rarely whip out a debit card for anything anymore.
Jeremy.
Jeremy carries Dogecoin.
If proprietor will not take Dogecoin, I will not shop there. I would say that I carry cash not more or less than last year, but I don't. Same. I carry cash, it sounds like, the least out of the people that live in the United States.
I have to say, I have moved in this direction. I find myself contactless paying for things more. Even though I've got cash in my wallet, I'll just go find contactless bag.
Because in the United States, that contactless thing works 8% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's always a side that does not work.
Really? I've never seen it fail, ever.
Yeah, I've never seen it succeed I've tried.
Yeah, when I go to the grocery store or anywhere else, I never see anyone use it. I see people whip out cash. I still see people pull out their checkbook, but I never see people pull out their contactless.
I would say 40% of the places, the chip thing still doesn't work correctly all the time.
Yeah, oh same
my God, stupid chip thing.
Yeah,
right. Well, I mean,
and I always get it wrong. I'm always sliding. I could
have a punt at trying to claim that it's happening everywhere except the backwardness that is America, but it isn't realistically, right?
Well, America's a kind of tiny and unimportant country if you think about it.
I think it still remains Iceland only, and good on
it
them.
It is. It's some kind of, you know, tin pot fascist dictatorship over in the Atlantic. I mean, who cares, right?
Whoa, in the Atlantic. Sorry,
that's,
man.
That's right, Captain Brexit. Let's carry on.
Okay. But no point you, for me on that
You with your Brexit
one.
And your CCTV laws, you have no leg to stand on.
Seriously,
okay?
Right?
When it comes to tyranny, okay?
Right?
Well, not disagreeing with you, right?
So you can get rid of that smug sense of sensibility right the fuck now. Like
I didn't get that one.
Thank you, Jono.
Up next.
All right. Okay. So next. So obviously that's a uh-uh.
Yes.
Next is that Microsoft will open source the Microsoft Edge browser.
Hasn't happened.
I don't believe that has happened.
No, they have open sourced the JavaScript engine from it, Chakra Core. They've dropped an occasional hint that they're considering open sourcing Edge, but that's not what was predicted. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened next year.
Have you read their FAQ entry on this? Because it obviously gets asked enough that they do have an official FAQ entry. While we don't currently plan to fully open source Microsoft Edge or Edge HTML, we understand and value the importance of being more open with our roadmap and our core technologies.
Yep. Yeah, and talking to engineers on the team and anything, none of whom would be happy about being quoted publicly, so I'm not going to by name. The discussion has gone on, and it's not like it used to be where if you brought that up, you just get laughed down in a meeting by people who thought you were moronic. It's kind of, okay, we can see that we're not going to for the following reasons, or we're not going to because it's not the right time, or because we can't be asked, or whatever. But you can discuss this with people without it being a stupid discussion.
Yeah. Right. Yep. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think they're heading in the right direction. They're not there yet.
But yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if they ultimately get to that point.
So no prediction. I mean, it does. I mean, I went back and listened to everything, and it turns out that my predictions weren't really predictions. They're more kind of hopes of what I wanted to happen this year.
It's like Stuart Langridge will date Nicole Kidman in 2016.
Hope springs eternal. I mean, there's still a week to go, right?
So you're saying there's a chance.
She's roaming the streets just of Birmingham looking for you. All right,
drop by, Nikki. Right, so
this was your bonus one. That 5-inch or less smartphones will outsell larger phones.
Right, that tragically has not happened.
I will note here that we do on our spreadsheet with numbers from Brian specifically requested a spreadsheet with numbers for every phone. I would like to see that spreadsheet.
Yep. Right. I God's honest truth.
You don't have to bring a spreadsheet. You can just concede that one. It's fine.
Honest truth. I did think, you know, maybe I need actual numbers, but I thought I really don't need actual numbers. It's not like I've got a leg to stand on here to argue that this might have happened. It utterly didn't happen. I still don't understand.
No. Yeah.
Why everyone wants to carry stupid, huge T-tray phones, but you all do, you fucking morons. Pack Whoa. It in.
Do you, Stuart Langridge, have a phone less than 5 inches in size?
Yep. iPhone 5C.
What happened to your OnePlus? You had a OnePlus for most of the year.
I did.
I thought Donald Trump had small hands. Didn't realize you had such tiny fingers. Your little Barbie doll fingers.
I do have tiny hands. I do. I'm sorry.
You do it's have just tiny hands, actually.
But yes, so tragically, this hasn't happened. This did not happen. No point for me. So there you go. So Jono and all I right. draw on naught, right?
Yeah, we are joint losers. Which, to be why fair, change the habit of a lifetime?
Both of you guys had ones that could have happened this year and seemed reasonable, but may happen pretty quickly, but you just kind of were a little too early on it.
Yeah,
I think you were. I think 2017 will treat your 2016 predictions better than 2016 itself did.
It is, I think, interesting. If you look at this from a psychological point of view, Jeremy gave sensible reason predictions and they all came true. Jono and I are both full of shit, and Brian's ones would have all been correct if he hadn't jacked them all up with way too much hyperbole, which seems to map quite neatly onto our personalities.
Although I will say, you guys mocked me mercilessly for the suggesting that there'd be a flexible device.
We did. I can't believe it happened. I really
can't.
That
one was a Hail Mary. Come on.
That was. I'm still amazed that that's the case.
If the Bills could throw a Hail Mary like that, we might win a game every once in a while.
Yeah, that's that. You know, no, sorry. You took the Bills' Hail Mary right there. That's it. They don't have one this next year.
I think I would rather Brian be right than that one be right. Stupid flexible devices.
Yeah, so there we have it.
You know what I was going to say, what must really get in your craw there is not only is it a flexible phone, it's a flexible phone over 5 inches.
I know. All we need now is for someone to put out a flexible phone which is too big and raises $200 million in crowdfunding. And that's just the one device that destroys bad voltage. Seriously.
And runs Ubuntu, obviously.
And runs Ubuntu. Yeah.
So there you go, mobile industry. Prove us all wrong. Okay. All right, so that's it. Go and let us know on the forum what you think. And obviously share your predictions as well about next year. And I guess the moral of this story is never listen to any of us. Maybe Jeremy.
Yeah, just Jeremy, yeah.
So, it is the end of the year. And we have some news to share.
We
More specifically, Brian has got some news to share.
Wait, I have some news to share?
Brian.
But we do.
Something's happening in Bad Voltage World.
Way to put a fella on the spot, also, guys.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So this is my last Bad Voltage ever. As of today, I am tendering my resignation to Bad Voltage Industries. I expect my final paycheck to arrive before the end of the month.
Good luck waiting for that one.
Yeah, personally. Yeah. You're going to get paid in Dogecoin by Jeremy.
So we started doing Bad Voltage, what was it, October of 2013?
Yeah.
Yep. Something like that.
So it's been a little over 3 years. We've had a pretty good run so far. And
yep.
I've got a lot of things coming up that have just made it so there's just no way that I can do the show and we can all do the show together with all of our schedules and everything working out. And so I'm going to be stepping back from the show. So if you listen to the show only for Brian Lunduke, you're going to be bummed out from now on. The rest of you, you're welcome. So I'm going to be moving on from the show. Starting in January, I've got a new show kicking up that's very different than what I've tended to do in the past. And I'll be doing a daily show Monday through Thursday, a live show with video and audio, and there's podcasts and maybe other mediums coming out of that afterwards. And that's what's happening. And I'm moving on. That's it. No more Bad Voltage for me.
I know you can't. So first of all, you know, we're obviously all sad to see Brian leave. And I think I speak on behalf of the rest of the guys where I think you've added so much to Bad Voltage, and we got so many good memories, so many ridiculous fucking memories as well.
Well, yes, that did happen.
So we're sad to see Brian leave, but obviously, you know, wish you the best of the future. If there's one thing that I think is certain in life, if our predictions aren't certain, it's that Lunduke will always surprise. So I no doubt that whatever's next will be fun and interesting.
My guess is, this is going to be a fun period of time for me. I mean, I'm kind of excited. I'm a little bummed out. I was hoping to have a few more ducks in a row by this episode so I could formally announce one other thing that I really want to talk about. But it's okay. If you guys follow me on the Twitters and the podcasts and the YouTube-inators and whatnots, you're going to find out about it pretty quickly here in January anyway. So that's totally okay. So happiness is established.
And we'll get you back on the show and you can talk about what you're doing as well.
I'm totally okay with that. And what's great is when I come back on the show, I can say ridiculous things and finally speak my mind against you guys, because I've been holding back a lot these last few years.
Yeah, I was going to say, wallflower.
I noticed that. Yeah. On a slightly more serious note, you're going off to do a daily show.
A daily friggin' show, which is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Is it about DOS games?
God, I wish. How great would it be to have a daily show all about DOS?
Daily gaming? DOS.
That would. Oh my God. Okay. So this. So Bad Voltage. We mostly come from the Linux world, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And we've all done Linux-centric podcasts before. Bad Voltage goes all over the place, but we've all done podcasts all about Linux, and that's great. But we always end up preaching to the masses, right? So I'm going to be doing a 1 hour Monday through Thursday, which will air at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then there's recorded stuff and whatnot that happened after that, that is geared much towards a much broader nerd audience. So it'd be technology, security and privacy, gaming to a lesser extent, retro computing and history, and also Linux and FOSS and all those other things, basically giving us a chance to preach the good word of open source and free software to people that don't normally get preached about it. And so it's kind of exciting. So yeah, so it's a much more general nerd and technology and whatnot type of show.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So what we're saying here is this is basically things Brian is interested in .com as a show. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So this show, this won't be including my various interests in things like aliens and whatnot. It's going to be very centric on technology, nerdy stuff, nerdy music, you know, cool nerd bands, things like that. So each episode will be one topic. One set of guests all around a specific topic each day. It very rarely will be just me in a microphone spewing off about, you know, how I dislike John O'Bacon. I mean, that'll happen. I mean, that'll happen once a month or so, but...
And now episode one.
But it's just going to be fun. It's basically... it's giving me a chance to kind of stretch my legs and do all sorts of other stuff. And it'll be very different from Bad Voltage. It'll be very different from the Linux Action Show and everything else everyone's ever seen me in, because this has to be more professional. I'm doing this in conjunction with other people and or companies that I can't announce at the moment. And so we're coming to a point. So over the next couple of weeks, the show will debut.
Well, part of the reason, and just to provide a tiny bit of backstory as well here, is the reason why Brian's moving on is partially out the rest of our fault, because with Brian doing his daily show and his other stuff, he needs to have a much more rigid schedule, which is difficult with the rest of us with our schedules. Yeah. So sadly, it's just one of those kind of,
like, it just doesn't work out. Yeah.
It hasn't mapped out. And I know I'm particularly to blame for part of this, because my schedule is a clusterfuck.
God but damn it, Jono.
So, but yeah, I mean, the good news, I think, is that Brian fans can still go and hear Brian. It's not like you're going to be burying yourself in a tomb anywhere.
No, you can actually get loads more Brian now alongside dollar placeholder and dollar placeholder and dollar placeholder. Well,
the show is very much me. The show literally is called the Lunduk Hour. And which, by the way, I had a meeting about this about a week ago, where we were talking about the possibility of it being more than an hour long later on. And it was decided by everyone that we could still keep the name, and then we could just use the joke, an hour with Lunduk feels like a whole hell of a lot longer. And so, it should be pretty good. And yeah, so the 1 p.m. Pacific time, that wasn't even my choice. So that was just kind of thrust upon me as, this is the time slot. And I'm like, okay, I'm taking it. And so everything in my life now has to juggle before and after 1 p.m. Right, or like an hour or so with a buffer between them. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting. It's very cool. There will be a YouTube live stream every day. So if you go to my YouTube channel and subscribe, you can watch that live. Of course, it's free. There's not like a charge or anything like that. And then I post the podcast for it up on lunduk.com, all that stuff. And then other stuff.
And you'll still be doing, I know you're going to be doing stuff at scale as well, right? So you're still going to be doing the live event stuff.
Yes, well, you are too, Giotto, if I'm not mistaken. You've got a new thing where you're going to put like children, there's like child labor or something like that you're doing at scale. What was that?
No. I'm going to be doing a talk, which is open source things I've learned from a four-year-old, specifically our four-year-old.
That's awesome.
Which should be interesting. So,
That should be fun. Do you know what you're going to say yet? Like, have you got this one prepared?
No. I've got some ideas, and each time he does more and more ridiculous stuff, thinking.
I just kind of assumed the talk was going to be, now, Jack, get up on stage and talk for 50 minutes for Daddy.
You know what? He could probably do that as well.
Yeah.
Like a 50-minute debate on Paw Patrol.
Dude, you know what? I could bring my daughter along. They could really go at it, because she has strong Paw Patrol positions. I mean, she really has an opinion about it.
Exactly.
And I'll be doing the last Linux Sucks ever at scale in March. That should be a ton of fun. Like, just a ton of fun. A bunch of people are going to be involved in that, none of which I can talk about ahead of time. But if you saw the last year's Linux Sucks, you know that there's fancy cameos.
And it was a good time.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a ton of fun. Good. So will all of you guys be at scale this coming year? I mean, I know John will. Jeremy, I assume you'll be there.
Yeah. I will probably be there, most likely.
Probably. And then Stuart, if we can find someone
Transcontinental Stuart's probably the wild card, yeah.
Yeah, I'm since I'm on the other side of the world, it's been more difficult for me, but I'm hoping to be there, shall we say. Put it that way.
Well, you know what? If we can get Stuart out there, maybe we can have like a little Bad Voltage reunion lunch at Subway or something, and everyone who likes the show can come eat at the Subway the street.
Only go to Carl's Jr., by the way.
Off we go to Carl's Jr., yes.
You know, guys, there's no Carl's Jr. within walking distance of the new scale location, and that's a real bummer for me.
We're going to need a bus.
It is not a real bummer.
Let's charter a bus to the closest Carl's Jr. and just fill that place up with Bad Voltage fans. That would be fantastic.
You know, that reminds me of when we did the very first Lug Radio Live, and we expected about 45 people to show up, and it was in this little bar in the football ground in Wolverhampton.
It was.
And like 250 odd people showed up. And so there was this one woman behind the bar, And because we told them,
yeah, there'll be 30 or 40 people here probably. So they put one person bar staff on. And then 200 awesome. People showed up and bought drinks all day. So the bar was three deep the whole time.
Well, hey, at least
just imagine that
with
a Carl's
right?
Jr., you know?
Dude, yeah, it's all about being three deep at Carl's Jr.
You got to date us at Carl's Jr. at least once in your life.
No.
Anyway, I feel very torn. I'm very excited about going forth and doing other crazy stuff. But it's been a fun 3 years, guys. This has been
an awesome 3 years. I'd say congratulations. It's cool that you're doing some awesome stuff, and we'll still get to hear you.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
At least I'm not moving on just to, I don't know, fart into my hand and let the people smell it. You know, I'm not doing the fart cup thing. I'm doing something actually cool, so that's fun. But I hope you guys do something kick-ass with Bad Voltage next year, because here's the thing. If you guys make Bad Voltage worse in any way next year, it will be forever known as, oh man, you guys just can't do a show without Brian. And I mean, I won't be the one saying that, obviously. I would never say such a thing. I'm just saying, other people might insinuate that, and you don't want that to happen. I'm here for you guys if you need help.
We've got to keep the brand alive.
Yeah,
so without further ado, I think we should have a listen to some of Brian's best bits from the course of the last 3 years.
Wait, what?
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
So just to be clear, who chose these best bits?
Oh. Maybe that was me.
Maybe it was John. All right. I want to let everyone on the internet know, I have not pre-heard these best bits. I have no idea what the heck John was pulling together.
We can confirm, Brian had no editorial control over this bit.
Let's roll the tape.
I love money. Money is fantastic. If someone comes along and says, Brian, would you like to write some marketing copy for Firefox or something? Here's $1 million. I'm going to write that marketing copy and collect that $1 million. I think it's very funny that we pulled together what is basically a Linux podcasting supergroup, and some of our first episodes were about things like religion and gun control. And now I'm very pleased that we've finally decided to just do at least one episode that's just balls to the wall Linux.
You don't think this makes it more convenient for people?
Oh, absolutely not.
There's no additional convenience benefit.
Absolutely not. And here's multiple reasons why.
You can come up with a bunch of reasons why they're doing it, but that's why they're
doing it. You know what, Stuart? I buy into that. I just think the idea is stupid. But I bet you're right that is the logic. The future of suitcases?
I never thought I'd ever say that. That is the most ridiculous phrase I have ever heard in my life. So many comments.
I have so many issues with it. But I think it's just
I would say that Brian Lundu is in no way biased against Canonical in any way, as the Bad Voltage
I like Canonical. They just keep doing stupid shit all the time.
I disagree with that. I mean, I know I sound like I'm harping on about developers the whole time, but I think this is a developer
mindset. Okay, developers are people too, and we like them. While we're on the topic of other things we could ask people to talk about in the forums, I'm really curious what people's thoughts are on Supergirl, because I've been watching that show with my daughter, and I want to like it.
This is an actual topic.
I recognize it, but I'm going to forget about this by the time the outro comes around. It's like half the time a good show, the other half of the time it really makes me mad. So go to community.badvoltage.org, and if you don't want to talk about App Image, feel free to talk about Supergirl. I still am not seeing any value here. But
not just slippers.
Mega slippers.
Mega slippers.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
I don't either.
It's fantastic, though. It's just... Once you get to a conference and you need that little portable battery charger with you, all you have to do is bring your entire suitcase with you throughout the conference, wherever you go. How convenient is that? That just makes up for all of the problems that this has for being a terrible suitcase. If we elect to not use your question, that is absolutely a referendum on your quality as a human being. But go ahead and send those questions on in, and we'll do our best to possibly answer them.
There we have it. Some of the Brian's best moments.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yes. thank you, Brian, for everything for the last 3 years. It's been a blast. And
thank you for 3 years.
You won't be too far away.
I was going to say thank you for 82 shows, but probably about 16 shows.
14, 15. Yeah. I showed up to a couple of them.
And as Brian mentioned, like, so we're going to be carrying on. Bad Voltage is not going to be going anywhere. We're going to still keep doing what we're doing. And I think we talked about this briefly the other day, but I think we're going to start the first show next year as season two.
Dude, you should.
So those of you who want to get your dose of Brian, you can go to season one, and then season two is going to be whatever the fuck we end up doing next.
Absolutely, yeah. Forward, so. We could also now rename the show to Better Voltage. But we haven't
Dude, you know what? 100% no Lunduk.
That seems like a leap. We should maybe just start with Voltage. See where it goes from there.
We're going to change the logos. It's a picture of Brian's face with a circle and a line through it and all this kind of thing. No, seriously, Brian, it's been brilliant. Thank you for the three years.
And super good luck
with what you're going on to.
Indeed. Yeah.
Thank you. I hope it doesn't explode in my face spectacularly.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will.
Let's hope for that.
Well, let's get. We'll be keeping our fingers crossed. Obviously, don't be a stranger. We'll see you at scale. Hopefully, Ack will be there, but we'll see about that. Hopefully, won't be there actually. Although I can't be sarcastic about Stuart Langridge because I get bollocked in the forum.
Yes, you do.
See how it's mildly different when you throw a little something here and there jab when he's actually in the show, as opposed to just hurling 10 minutes worth of abuse at him in an outro that he's not even in. Do you see? That's not really a fine line.
Well, and here's the thing: it wasn't just that. You also went after basically skin color, weight, height, like literally everything. I think you didn't attack his sexual orientation, but I'm pretty sure you hit every other hot button issue you could possibly hit when insulting someone.
That's because there is no sexual orientation.
I confess, I did feel quite hard done by.
Freaking lie.
Hey,
I don't want to give that dude any more ammunition.
Very tempted. No, I'm. Stuart. I am. To people who haven't heard Jono and I together, I'm pretty used to it by now. He's just mean to me and everyone else.
I would like to make it very clear with my last final act on Bad Voltage that Stuart, you are beautiful just the way you are. You are, without a doubt, my favorite Oompa Loompa ever.
I must have been very bad in a previous life, I think.
I'm so sorry.
I might cut that out and put it into the best bits that have happened earlier. So. All right, so I guess we should wrap it up. So thank you for listening. This is the final show of this year.
Yep. Yes.
So happy holidays wherever you are, whoever you're celebrating it with, and whatever you're celebrating.
Yep. Happy New Year as
well. We will see you in 2017 on Bad Voltage, and Brian will see you in whatever he's doing next in 2017 as well.
Word.
Have a good time.